And I kind of am teaching on the book of Proverbs. And so there's going to be questions and answers tonight, and you guys are going to know the answers. And if you got a handout, you can see that this is very basic. I did not have time to do a PowerPoint, but I did give you a little window into how, when I look at a passage, how I think about it, how I study it, how I approach it, which I'm not saying it's right. But you know what the point of it is no matter how you approach Scripture, if you're reading it and you're studying it and you're applying it, you're being obedient. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And this passage that we talk about tonight talks about what we should do with instruction and how we should listen to the instruction. And specifically the instruction of the Word is what's applied, because he's saying the words of his Father. But I think we can say, as we look to Scripture, we know that this book that we have is the Word of our Father. So when we start out in chapter 4, in Proverbs chapter 4, it's the first verse, and we're not going to read the whole thing yet, but it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." So as we look at this, it says, "Hear ye children." Well, I'll tell you what. If you're a Christian, you are a child of who? God. So you are who this is written to. You're a child. Now, it says, the instructions of a father. So if you are a child of God, God is your heavenly Father. And if God is your heavenly Father, then you need to pay attention to this. If God is not your heavenly Father, then you have other problems. And we can talk about that as we go through this, because we're going to see some implications of salvation as we go through this. So we're going to take an Old Testament proverb where the proverb writer is writing because I got a question that who's going to ask it. I'm going to ask who wrote it in a minute, and so I don't want to give away the answer. But we can say, who wrote this? Well, the person that we're going to put as the answer didn't really write this. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? God did, right? Really, God wrote it. So this is God's words to us through the person who wrote the book. And I'm being vague because I don't want to answer my own questions that I am about to ask. So let's pray. We're going to read through the entire chapter, and we are then going to teach through the entire chapter, and we are going to be done before I fall over, which is probably about 30 minutes tonight. And you look at me and go, yeah, right. Well, maybe. That's my goal, though. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, most importantly, that you have given us your Word, and it's not extremely complicated. If we take a little bit of time and read it, and study it and figure it out, and we look at it and we ask, what are we supposed to do with it? We can figure it out with your help, and we can obey you by applying your Word. Lord, help us tonight as we look through this, that we will be able to think clearly, that we'll be able to understand this, and then more importantly, we'll be able to apply it and do something with what we learn tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you don't have your Bibles to Proverbs 4 yet, go ahead and turn there. If you don't, look at the handout, and it has Proverbs chapter 4 on your user-friendly handout. So you can get away without going to Proverbs, but if you have your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start with the subtitle is The Command to Obtain Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." That's an important verse. Remember that verse. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. "And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, or is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, and they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the left hand, or turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So as we start this, the first thing I want you to do is take your hand out and turn it to the back. Turn to the back of your hand out, and at the bottom it says, so what? So we're going to start there, and then we'll end there later. So, a couple things, and I want you to think about this. And if you listened really close, you might have heard some themes, but what's the main big picture? What's the main application, and what's the main point? Now, the main point was repeated about four times in here as we read it. And so as we go through this, pay attention to the things that are repeated. Because the things that are repeated, chances are, if God thinks it was important enough to put it multiple times within a couple sentences, it might just be important. So pay attention. What's the whole big picture? If we take all the verses of this and we were to write one sentence about it, what would that be? That's the big picture. What's the main application? What are we supposed to do with everything we heard? And what's the main point? If you took all this and said, so the point of Proverbs chapter 4 is, by the end of the time, not yet. Otherwise, I don't have to preach. But by the end of the time, we should be able to give those three simple questions, right? And we should be able to give a basic. So if somebody ever comes to you and says, what about Proverbs 4? And you can say, well, you know what? I wrote three little notes in my Bible. The main point's this. The big picture is this. And the application that I'm supposed to do with it's this. And guess what? Go read it for yourself now. Right? But we should be able to do that. Do you have notes in your Bible that when somebody preaches a passage, you write down, this is the theme, this is the main point, this is the application? You know, the nice thing about having notes is we have notes to write in. But you know, sometimes I like taking my Bible, and when I'm here and preaching, writing down the points alongside the passage and writing them in my Bible. So later on when I'm reading through my Bible, those notes that got thrown away long ago, I hit it in my Bible and I find it. And I go, I remember that. I learned that in a Bible study methods class. Actually, my dad taught it to me when I was really little. I didn't even realize he was teaching that to me. But I remembered it when I got bigger, and I was reminded of it later. Now, why do I tell you that? Because we're going to find out that my dad taught me some stuff when I was a little guy that I still remember. And we're going to hear about that in this passage. So let's jump in. Verse 1. First of all, Proverbs chapter 4, who wrote this book? We know God did, but who did God use as the human being that he inspired to write this? Who was it? Somebody shout it out. Solomon. King Solomon wrote this. Okay? That's an important thing to know. Because if we don't know that, we don't know the answer to the next questions I'm going to ask. So, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. So we already talked about that a minute ago. Who's he talking to? Well, all of us, right? He's talking to all of us. But more specifically in this, we're going to go look at the words. So the first thing I notice is, what's the very first word? Hear. Hear. What is it to hear? It's to listen. It's to pay attention. It's to take sound in. Not just take it in, but to do something with it. Take it in and store it, right? You're hearing it. Don't sit there with your hands over your ears. Don't put your earphones in. Don't get zoned out in your book. Don't get your smartphone out and be playing games and not be paying attention. I mean, those things happen, right? Those are all things that we do that cause the Word of God and the instructions to not make it into our brain. So let's avoid distractions. Let's focus so we hear, and the data that we're supposed to be taking in makes it through these little holes in the side of our head and into our brain. Once we do that, now we have a small chance of being able to do something with it. But the first step is to hear it, to listen, to pay attention. Now, the next word I see here is instructions. What are instructions? Well, they're the directions, right? Those things that none of us ever need, but we're going to figure it out without them, and then we have to go back and start over to put that whatever it is together right. And we all think, any of you bought one of those bookshelves in a box or a desk in a box? And you're like, I got this. This makes sense. And all of a sudden, you're 3/4 done, and you go, that ain't right. It's not even. And then you have to go back and figure out how to very carefully take it all back apart again and get what? The instructions out. And then you have to look at them and go, there's my mistake. Okay, I'm going to follow them from here on out. And you would think we would learn from that experience, right? And the next time we buy one of those bookshelves in a box, we would go, you know what? I'm going to read the instructions first, because there's a big sheet of paper in there that says stop. Read instructions first, right? Every time. How many of us do? None of us. Mrs. Meeker says she does. Oh, Cheryl Sims does too. So there's two good people in here. The rest of us, we're, maybe, sort of, right? Okay, if you're lucky, they're in English. If you're lucky, they're in English, and it wasn't translated by a computer from Chinese, which is often very amusing also, right? So there's a point to this, and I know it's kind of funny, but when we get instructions and we're listening to them, it's very important that we actually heed the instructions. It's very important that when God says, listen up, here's the instructions, here's the directions, the teaching, the know-how to do this. Pay attention, learn it. Secondly, who's it of? It's of a caring father. A father is somebody who cares about you. They love you. They want the best for their children. So they're giving their children the tools that they need to succeed. That's what's happening here. Attend to understanding. Pay attention so you understand how things really work. And then the next thing we need to ask, next thing it says here is, what about attend to understanding? Well, we talked about paying attention. What is understanding? What is understanding? Well, it's the ability to process it, right? It's the ability to take the knowledge and figure it out, and then eventually you apply it and use it. But you're able to take it in and understand it. That's what understanding is. So the next step in this is verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. What is doctrine? What's doctrine? Somebody? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Simple as that. And it's good teaching. It's accurate, it's correct teaching. And then it says, forsake ye not. What's it mean to forsake? It's actually a warning there, right? He's like, don't you forsake this. What's it mean to forsake? To go against. Forsaking means to turn your back on it and choose to do something different than what you are told. It's a rebellious attitude. It's forgetting about what you know is right and choosing to do what is not right. Intentionally, that's forsaking the rules. Your parents or your heavenly father says, don't do this, and you go, I'm going to do it anyhow. From experience, does that usually end well? Okay. Then the next part, for I was my father's son. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? I was my father's son. Well, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So first of all, he's saying he was a little guy, right? When he was just his father's little boy. And he was tender in the sight of his mother. That means tender and only beloved in the sight of his mother. He was her little guy. You know, you've seen a mom with her little toddler. It's her guy, right? And then they get bigger and mom's like, what in the world did I get myself into? And they got this little, son that's no longer their little guy. But you all know what I'm talking about. He's their little guy. And so it says, for I was my father's son. He's saying, I was taught this when I was a little fella. My father wasn't just there. He was my dad. He was teaching me. And so we talk about him being little and he being taught these things by his father. Now, the question is, we have two questions here. Who was Solomon's father? David. David was Solomon's father. So not only was he this little guy and this guy was his dad was the king. Right? Kind of an important guy. But what did he make time for? His little guy. He made time for him. he took the effort and taught him. And you know what's interesting is Solomon remembered the things that he was taught when he was short. He remembered those things. He didn't forget them. Says he was a small little guy. He was still his mama's pride and joy, her little baby, and he still remembers the things that Dad taught him, taught him the principles. So what's the point of that? Well, when we're a young child in Christ or when we're a young child in real life, the things that we're taught when we're young are very, very important. And it's important that we pay attention and learn them. On the other half, it's also important when we are responsible for a young child or we are responsible for a young believer, what is it important that we do? We invest what? Time in teaching them. So David spent time teaching his son. And though he was very young, he still remembered it. In verse 4 it says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. That's a little bit dramatic, right? Well, yeah, it is. But you know, if you want to ruin your life in a fast way, what's the best thing we can do? Not keep God's commandments, right? And usually they cause disastrous consequences. We all know somebody who was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old who made a disastrous, disobedient decision. And it affects them and haunts them for when? Their entire life. It doesn't go away. You don't get a redo. It's over with. And then you hear about people who have a tragedy. And they have a tragedy with a friend. Maybe they did something that was not meant to be mean, but it was wrong, it was silly, it was dumb, it was whatever, and a friend gets hurt or killed. I know a couple of those people. I know a friend who made a mistake with a wood splitter and in fourth grade. Guess what? She no longer has the rest of her entire life. She has a reminder that she goofed because she didn't listen to the instructions. There is drastic consequences, but what's interesting is David took the time and he remembered it. David told him, you hide these words in your heart. You obey them and you will have a long, good life. Now, we know, fast forward, that didn't always happen with Solomon, did it? But yet when he was writing this, he remembered that his father had told him these things. Now, the next verse, verse 5, we're going to have to hurry. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. So first of all is get. The word get. It's an action. You have to do it. Is it going to come find you? Probably not. You have to take a little bit of effort. You have to take a little bit of work. You have to take a little bit of initiative. And you have to do something. You have to make a choice that you are going to receive what's being given to you. If I walk up and go to hand one of you a $100 bill and you just look at it, nothing happens, right? I see my daughter reaching out and grabbing. She got the right idea, right? She's getting it. She's going after it. She's making an effort for it. That's what we're supposed to do with the instruction that we receive as children of God. We're supposed to go after that. And then it says, get wisdom. So we're getting it. It's an action. Get wisdom. What's wisdom? What is wisdom? It's the quality of having experience. It's knowledge with good judgment. Knowledge, good judgment, and the quality of being wise. I love definitions that involve the same root word. It doesn't make sense. But it's taking the knowledge you have and knowing what to do with it. I like the idea of knowledge with good judgment. Right? You have the knowledge and you know what to do with it. You know, they say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, wisdom is taking that little bit of knowledge and knowing how to apply it so it's not a dangerous thing. That's what wisdom is. The soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So there we get that same idea again. It's taking the knowledge and doing something right with it. And then understanding is our next word in that. Get wisdom, and then it says get understanding. It's the ability, once again, a great definition. The ability to understand something. Why doesn't it help us? How about a word comprehend? Well, that means to understand, right? Understanding means to figure it out. It means to figure it out. That's as simple as I can get it. It means to take something and to look at it and hear it and figure out. Figure it out so you understand it. That's the best I got. But you understand it. And then it says the next thing is neither decline. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. It says don't forget it and don't walk away from it. Don't over time let it fade away from you. Don't let it slip away from your memory. Don't let it be something that isn't that important and you put it on the back burner and sooner or later that burner goes out and that warm pot of something back there cooking that's supposed to be remembered turns cold and it spoils and it disappears because you didn't use it. Don't let that happen. And then let's go to the next verse, but it says, get it. Make it. Don't forget it. Get it. Understand it. Don't forsake it. Don't let it go to waste. Because this is important in your everyday life. This is important stuff. So the next verse in verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now sometimes in the Bible we look at it and go, why did he decide to be a poet all of a sudden? Why didn't you just say what you meant? Right? We look at it and go, well, that's kind of weird. So the question I have to ask you is, who is she? Wisdom. She is wisdom, right? So forsake not wisdom. Don't forsake wisdom. So what does it mean to forsake? Anybody? What do you think, Lindsay? Not use correctly. That's one word of it. Abandon. Forsake means to abandon. It's like having something and, you know, you leave it laying around and you lose it because it's not that important to you. Or you intentionally lose it so you don't have to use it. It's gone, right? Like homework. Forsake not your homework. What homework? I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. So forsake, or it went in your desk and it just disappeared, right? Don't abandon wisdom, because wisdom is your what? Wisdom is your life preserver. It says, wisdom shall keep thee, right? Isn't that what it says in that verse? We figured out who she is. It's wisdom. So forsake, or don't lose, or don't abandon wisdom. And wisdom will preserve thee. So it's like a life preserver. So you're stuck in the middle of a big ocean and somebody throws you a life preserver and you catch it and they pull you into safety. Good plan, right? That is what this picture is. Wisdom is your life preserver and wisdom will save you. Wisdom will keep you. And if you love wisdom, it will keep you safe. If you love wisdom, it says, and she shall keep thee. Well, she shall keep thee from error. She shall keep thee safe. Wisdom will keep you away from trouble because you took the teachings you got and you learned from them and you did something correct with it. All right, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. What's it mean to be the principal thing? The main thing, the most important thing. Oh, there might be an answer to one of our questions at the end. Just saying. Wisdom is the most important thing. Get it? But when you get it, what else are you supposed to get? Get understanding. So because wisdom is so important, make some effort and go get it. But it says, with all you're getting, get some understanding too. So don't only get the knowledge, don't only figure it out, but then you get wisdom, which is figuring out what to do with the knowledge. Take the effort because it's worth it. And then in verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her. Exalt, to hold something or somebody in a high regard. Think or speak very highly of. That's what it means to exalt somebody. So you exalt wisdom, and really wisdom's going to exalt you. It will bring you honor. It'll make you rise to the top. If you're an employee in a company and you make wise decisions while you're doing your job, usually people notice that. And usually those people are recognized, they're honored, they're promoted, they're raised up. Usually that's what happens with people that are wise as employers. They take good care of the people who are good to them. Now, to promote them, we just talked about promoting. They moved up. Further the progress of. So exalt her, and she shall promote thee. So if you lift up wisdom and put it on a high pedestal and value wisdom, it will make you a better person and raise you up. And wisdom will bring you honor, is what this is saying. And she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So when you grab a hold of wisdom and you keep it and you lift up wisdom and wisdom lifts you up, it's going to bring you to a place of honor. And what's going to happen is people will look to you with respect. And you know, you can be young and have people look and say, you know, that's a good kid. That kid is wise. I know as a parent, I love it. It is one of the neatest things when somebody comes and says, man, I was so impressed with the wisdom your kid showed. I was so impressed with the way your child behaved. I was so impressed by it. And I go, wow, cool. And then I usually try and make sure I go find that child and tell them, hey, you did a great job. You did a good job. Isn't that nice when somebody does that? You know, I had something happen the other day. I have an employee, and somebody called the 1-800 number to complain about how great of a job this guy did serving him at the counter. That doesn't happen. I mean, usually when they call the complaint, they're calling to complain, right? So my boss got in his car, drove down to that store, walked into the store and said, hey, you, I need to talk to you. Come here. And he looks at him like with a little bit of fear in his eyes. And he goes, I just want to tell you, I got a... And he grabbed the manager and said, hey, come over here, Mr. Manager. You know, I just want to tell you something. I got a phone call about you. And you see him start to shrivel. And he says, but you know what? They were saying how awesome of a job you did and how much they appreciated it. And they could tell you cared about them. And you should just seen him beam. I mean, it was just like, you know, it made his day. Well, why? Because somebody lifted him up and told us how great of a job he did. Pretty neat stuff, right? Pretty neat stuff. Okay, verse 9. Yeah, we're not going to make it all the way. But verse 9, good thing is, we'll get through the main points, right? She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Now, she, wisdom, will give you an eternal reward. So what's this ornament of grace? It's a crown in heaven. It's a crown of honor. It's an award. It's like when you work in Awana, or when you work at work and you receive a reward for your labor. Or some of us just go to work every day and we get a paycheck, which is called a reward, right? It's kind of nice when it hits the bank account. You work, they give you money. Life is good. That's how it's supposed to work. And we have to look at it that way and we go, okay, so I understand this, but an ornament on your head or a crown or a medal around your neck saying, look how great this person is. But this is talking about heavenly rewards, really. And, you know, I think we talked a couple weeks ago with the kids about how they will receive awards in heaven. And we mentioned that last week, that kids who do really, really well will get awards. And we gave awards to the kids who performed well and memorized their verses and earned points, and we awarded them. Well, that's what this is talking about. When you are wise and your life is characterized by wisdom, you will receive a crown of glory for wisdom. So sometimes, though it seems like the good guys never get ahead, sometimes it seems like doing the right thing is always the hard thing. You know what? Somebody notices. And the one who notices is the one who matters most. The one who notices is our Heavenly Father looking down on us, and He notices, and you know what? That's who we're trying to please. So we are wise. God notices. God rewards wisdom. Think it's important that we have wisdom? I think it probably is. If it's important enough to God that He's going to give a crown and glory for it, it's probably pretty important. Next verse. Hear, O son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Hey, you, listen carefully. Apply what I'm telling you. And guess what? You'll have a long life. You won't do something silly that ends your life soon. You know what else will happen? God will protect you. How many of you have a moment in your life when you know you should have died? I have a moment in my life I should have died. I have a couple of them, but the main moment I should have died, I was working up at a construction site, and I was in a piece of equipment, and it got stuck. And we put a very short chain on it, did everything what we thought was correct, and for some reason, when that dozer that was pulling me hit, and I can tell you why in a second, when that went out and the chain went tight, I saw the chain come tight, put it in reverse, said go to get the wheels going, and something said duck. That was the Holy Spirit telling me duck. I can tell you right now, I ducked. The hook on that chain broke. It came through the back, through the metal cage that was on the back, through the back window. I ducked, went right over my, I remember hearing it go by my head and hit the dash of that piece of equipment. That dash was thick metal. Put a dent in it. It barely missed me. If I would not have ducked, it would have went right through. No question. God said duck, I'm glad I did. I can tell you right now, had I not ducked, that would have been the end of me. At 18 years old, running a piece of equipment, no more, over a freak accident of a hook breaking on a chain. And that's exactly what it would have been. So I can tell you right now, wisdom was God saying, duck, something didn't feel right, I ducked, and I'm glad I did. Well, there's going to be times when our life's preserved because we listen to that little bit of wisdom in our mind that God says, do it, and you do it now. That's extreme, right? That might be extreme, but what about other things we make a decision? We make a bad choice, and we start a spiral of events that we can't stop. And it's a long, slow, painful process for the rest of our life. Those things happen too. So now it changes a little bit. This next section in verse 11 starts to change a little bit. It says, Solomon says, David told him, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. He says, hey, kid, listen up. I taught you how to get wisdom. I've led you down the right path. Now, guess what, Solomon? Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you to figure this out. I've given you the resources you need. I've showed you the words. I've given you the instruction. I've talked you through it. And it's your turn to do the right thing. It's your turn to do it correctly. It's your turn to figure it out and to pass it on to the next generation. And the next verse says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So he says, when you do these things, when you follow the path that I've set you on, your steps won't be straightened. That's kind of a weird, steps not straightened. It means that when you walk, your steps won't be hindered or restricted. You won't have somebody trying to trip you up. God will protect you, and it'll protect the path that your feet are on. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Does he say that he's going to direct you on your path? No, it says he's going to direct your path, like literally direct your path. Well, when you go down the path that God's directing, it's a lot better path, right? Any of you been riding on a mountain bike on a really nice paved mountain bike path? It's fun to ride on. It's fast. What happens if you get off and try and go through the trees to take a shortcut over to that other side? Is it nice and smooth and easy riding? Usually your shortcut doesn't save you a lot of time, does it? Slows you down just a little bit. There's stuff tripping you up, slowing you down. So when God makes your path before you, it's wise for us to walk down the straight path. The next part of that verse says, you won't stumble when you run. You can be running along as fast as you can, and you're not going to trip and fall because God's already prepared your path for you. Because you're following Him. You don't have to worry about obstacles in your path. You still have to be paying attention. You still have to be wise. You still have to be going. But you don't have to worry about little things sticking up because God already went ahead of you and swept them out of the way. It's kind of a nice thing, right? Kind of a nice thing. For some reason, have you ever gone to a parade and they have a whole group of horses walking down there? And then it never fails that the marching band's not far behind, right? Have you ever been there and done that? You remember you marched a marching band and you follow the horses? If you're lucky, there's a street sweeper going between you and them, or there's those cool little bags that the horses wear, right? If there's not, what do you have to do while you're marching along with your marching band playing? Watch where you're walking. Same idea. Similar idea. So verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Grab onto this instruction. Don't let go. This wisdom is your life preserver. This wisdom will save you. It's there. Do not Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not the way of evil men. Do not enter. That's your next blank. Do not enter. That's a big sign. Path of the wicked, just stay away. Don't go there. Don't enter. Just keep going where you're supposed to be going. That's that little path that's supposed to be quicker and easier that never is. Do not enter. Stay away. Enter not the path of the wicked and do not go the way of evil men. Don't even go the same direction as the bad guys. Just, if there's a crowd over there and they're going the wrong way, don't even go near them. Steer clear. Go way over there and stay away. You don't want to be anywhere near it. Have you ever heard of somebody who wasn't involved in something, but they were a little too close to the people who were involved, and they get caught with the bad, with the guys who were doing wrong, and then sometimes they get out of it, sometimes they don't, right? Why? Because they were too close. Stay away. Danger, stay away. That's the idea. Avoid it. The next verse, verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Danger, stay away. Don't go near it. Turn around. Go the other direction. Get away right now. When you see trouble, don't go over and check it out to see what's happening. We all know somebody who's done that, right? We all can tell. Oh, yeah, I remember watching people. If there was trouble, there was that person that was just kind of watching. They weren't involved, so they were safe, right? But what usually happens to that person? They get sucked in. They get sucked in every time. Yeah, it's not a good thing. And then we're going to go into a couple verses here, and we're going to breeze through these ones quickly. But it says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. Basically, this is saying the wicked and the evil don't sleep at the end of the day unless they've done something wrong, unless they've got some trouble to get into, and unless they've found somebody else to drag down into the trouble that they're into, they can't rest. It's like, you know, sometimes you're about to go to bed and you're like, oh man, I didn't do, and you have to climb out of bed and go finish whatever it was that you forgot to do. While these people, they get in bed and they're like, wait a second, I didn't do anything mischievous today. I'm going to go rob a bank. And that's what they go do, right? Or I'm going to go hide behind that rock and attack that Good Samaritan guy when he walks by. You know, those are the types of things that this is talking about. It says, they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. I put a note in here and I left this in here on your notes. They watch bad things, read about bad things, play video games about bad things, talk about bad things, and guess what? They do bad things. Well, that's the application for somebody, some of us, right? Some of it is these people, they live, breathe, and are sustained by doing evil. Have you ever met a truly evil person? I've met a few of them. I mean, they're just bad news. You meet them, and it's like, whoa, there's something wrong with that person. I interviewed somebody a while back, and it's like, yeah, I'm not hiring you. You just tell. There's something wrong. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need that kind of person working in my control. Not happening. I don't need you around. Or you meet somebody and they seem good at first, and then all of a sudden you find out it was a front, and you go, whoa. It's like everything you do is manipulative, it has a purpose, and it's wrong. That's what this is talking about. But it says then, the path of the righteous, let me actually read what the Bible says. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of righteousness is bright as day. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. What's the perfect day? When Jesus comes, or when you die and go to heaven, right? So what this is saying is the path of righteousness is bright. It's in the open. It's good. It's walking in the light. There's a passage from the New Testament, right? Walk in the light as he is in the light. Be in the light. Talking about being in the light like Jesus. And it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter in your life as you grow as a Christian and do more and more and more. Your light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. It so let your light so shine, right? And then you die, and what happens? You go to heaven. Where, who is the light? Jesus is the light. Ooh, that's pretty cool. That's the opposite of the downward spiral of the evil. The next verse. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way that they're going, it's so bad, they can't even see what they're tripping over. It's so dark, there's no direction. And you know what those people need, really? I mean, for a second, let's not be hard on them. What do they really need? They need the light. They need Jesus. I told you, we would talk about it. If you don't have wisdom, if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have understanding, it's because you don't have Jesus. Jesus helps us have all those things. Without Jesus, we can't do it. Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is knowledge. Jesus is understanding. Jesus is the light to shine on the darkness so they can come to the light. You know, the one time you can use a moth as a good illustration, if you put a light outside at night, what comes flying right away to that light? Bugs and moths. Usually they die because they get on that blue light that zaps them all, right? Let's not use that illustration. They get sucked into the light. They get sucked into the light. Well, you know, evil people, when they see somebody who is living wise and is living right and is living in the light, are attracted to it. And they want to go, why are you different? And you get to tell them, why? Why are you different? Because of Jesus. And guess what? You just got the chance to tell somebody about the most important thing that you could ever tell them about. Because your light was shining. Next verse. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Emphasis. My son, hey, listen up. Pay attention. Listen carefully to what I am telling you. See Solomon kind of going off, you know, as his little three-year-old self wandering off to go start. Hey, get over here, Solomon. Come back here. See David telling him, come here. Sit down. Listen, I'm not done yet. I am not done. Are you listening? Oh, good. I'm glad you're listening. Because I'm not finished. Let these words not depart from thine eyes. Keep them safe in the midst of thine heart. So let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them in the midst, keep them in the midst of thine heart. What is them? It's the teachings. It's the words. It's the wisdom, right? It's all these sayings that he's been taught by his father. Solomon is saying, keep them in the middle of your heart. Keep them right there. The middle of our heart's like saying in the most sacred portion of our mind. We got to keep these things, right? Keep them close. Guard them tight, because that's the most important things you're ever going to live by. And then it says, for they are life. Well, actually, up above I put a note in it. It says, don't let my teachings or sayings out of your sight. Keep them fresh in your sight all the time, so they're right there when you need them. When you have a decision to make, you have the resources. You were taught the resources to make the right decision. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to their flesh. These words of wisdom bring life. The words of Scripture bring what? Life. They bring salvation. They bring health to all that find them. Obedience to God brings health to your body. Obedience to God brings health to your mind. Obedience to God brings health to your soul. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thine heart with all diligence. So what's diligence? It's hard work. It's effort. It takes hard work to keep your heart right with God. Secondly, what are the issues of life? Well, it's all the struggles that we face every day. We have to make a decision. Do I do this or do I do that? Is this right or is it wrong? Should I like that person as a friend? Should I not like that person as a friend? You know, all these decisions we have to make. Should I choose to obey my teacher or should I choose to not obey my teacher? Should I drive the speed limit or should I not drive the speed limit? All these decisions that we have to internalize and make every day are the issues that we have to deal with. And you know what? The words of God and the wisdom of the Word of God helps us to handle all these issues of life that come at us. The Word of God gives us the resource that we need. The instruction is there. So we work hard. All of the attitudes, the sins, the spiritual victories, the right decisions, the wrong decisions, all of it come from where? Our heart. The problem is, Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we have this problem. We have all these wise things going on that we're trying to overcome what? A desperately wicked heart. And that's the only way we can keep that desperately wicked heart at bay, is God's wisdom. Now, next verse. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. What's it froward mean? It means contrary. It means arguing. It means difficult to get along with. Put all that arguing away. perverse, dirty talk, wrong talk, lies, all these angry things. All these things are perverse. Get them out of here. Get them out. Bad talk. Put away from thee afar about the perverse leaves. Put them far away from you. So not only are we careful what's inside, but we're careful what's what? Coming out. One of the scariest things is what's coming out of our mouth is most often a sign of what? What our heart is really thinking. When somebody says something, it's like, oh, I'm just kidding. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. I can tell you a story that happened today about somebody who said something to the wrong person because they thought they were talking to somebody else. And the consequences are disastrous. Disastrous consequences. Why? Because they said something stupid. Bottom line. Right? Disastrous consequences. So guard your lips. Now, let thine eyes, verse 25, hey, we're going to make it, almost on time. Let thine eyes look right on. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't get, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what? Don't, pastor talks about balancing eyes. You see something, instead of going, ooh, go, nope, I'm not looking. That's where I'm going. Ooh, there's a cool, nope, I'm going this way. God told me that he wants me to do this to serve him. Well, there's a cool opportunity to make some money and go buy that cool car you want. Nope, I'm going this way. Hey, if I just skip out on my tithe for a year or two, I could buy myself a brand new truck. I could. Is that a temptation? That's Satan talking to me sometimes. You know what? And you know what I figured out? A lot of these guys I look at, I'm like, how in the world do they afford that pickup? And then I remember, they don't tithe. They're not a Christian. They don't give God his portion. So they have that kind of money. They also have all kinds of other issues. But they have a new truck. And that's a, I'll tell you personally, I'm telling you, that's a battle for me. You know, that's Satan. When I'm writing a check, sometimes sarcastically, I think, there's my new truck. It's wrong. I tell you, it is wrong. But you know what? I try and do the right thing. I put it in the envelope and I put it in the offering plate. Anyhow, why? Now, I'm getting sidetracked by the really nice looking truck sitting there. I really like one. I'm tired of my old car. I mean, some of you understand that, right? Is there anything wrong with a new truck? No. If you can afford it, great. But if you afford it at God's expense, that's an expensive pickup. Now, I tell you that because it's kind of silly. But you know, those are the challenges that this talks about keeping your eyes looking straight ahead, not getting sucked in by those things we like. And then it says the last two verses here, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. So think, ponder means to think about it. Don't just start walking. Think about where you're going first. Plan your trip. Don't just jump in the car and go, let's go on a trip. Jump in the car, take off driving. We'll end up wherever we end up. Okay, that's not always a good thing. You might end up going down a road for a very long ways that you can't go. GPS is good at that. Tim will tell you there's stories of truck drivers who follow it, and they follow it, and they follow it, and they end up having to back their semi out of a very long road that turned into a four-wheel drive road. Happens all the time. Why? Because they didn't look at a map. They were just going. Problem. Let your ways be established. What does it mean to be established? Established means this is the set way. This is the way it is. This is the right way. Establishing means to build a good foundation and build on it. It's the when you look at the example of what the right thing to do is, that means that's the way that was established as correct. When I build a procedure for something and say, this is the way we're going to do this, the way has been established. That's the way it needs to be. And you build on that. That's what it means to be established. And then the last verse, turn not to the right hand, turn not to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Keep your path straight. Don't get distracted by rabbit trails. Don't get distracted by shortcuts. Don't get distracted by chasing things that don't matter. Keep your feet on the path that God has laid before you. Keep your feet out of evil. And the direction of evil that you could follow will not be really appealing to you. You aren't going to want to follow it. You're going to be able to walk the right way. And you're not going to have anything to do with wrong because you're wise enough to know better, right? So that's the message. So let's apply it, and then we'll let Anna play, and then we'll go to our prayer time because I see Anna's here to play for the offering. So big picture, what's the big picture? Big picture is what? Somebody throw it out there. What's the big picture of this passage? Getting wisdom is really the big picture, right? Kind of the big picture. Wisdom's an important thing. Wisdom is really important for us. What's the what's kind of the main application of this whole thing? Wisdom, getting wisdom is the main point, right? So what's the main application? Because we're supposed to give wisdom, I should. Pastor Chuck, what is it? And then we'll go to Cheryl. What do you think? Because I'm supposed to get wisdom, I should.
Live right.
Live right. Use the wisdom. Use it? Why would you want to do that? Who else? Live right. Use it. Somebody else. Tim.
Hear, learn, and apply.
Hear, learn, and apply. Hey, that's the next answer, the main points. Lindsay, what should you do with it?
Study.
Study. To get wisdom, right? Study.
Turn it into understanding.
And ultimately, at the end of this, it's going to help us to be able to do what? To live our life in a way that God notices that we're doing right. But you know who else notices that we're doing right?
Amen.
Others notice that we're doing right. And others ultimately then see that that's a good person. I should try and be like them. I wonder what makes them like that. And then we get the chance to do what?
Right.
Tell them about how they can get wisdom.
Amen.
Because we could go through one book in the New Testament that talks, and all it does, and I won't tell you what it is tonight, but there is a book in the New Testament that talks about Christ is wisdom. That's the theme of an entire book of the New Testament. Christ is wisdom. If you want to know what that is, ask me later because I have to finish. There's something to think about. Christ is wisdom. That's the bottom line that we have to take away from this today. Without Jesus, you can't have wisdom. Without Jesus, the knowledge you have really doesn't matter. And without Jesus, you can't follow the path God wants ahead of you. So make sure you get Jesus and get wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share this proverb and that we can just walk through a whole passage and just talk about what it means and how we apply it. Thank you for your word and how crystal clear it is and how though sometimes there's little parts that are hard to understand, if we read it and we think about it, we can figure it out. Lord, thank you that you help us do that. Help us to have a good evening tonight as we think about this and we go out of here. In Jesus' name, amen.